From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. In school districts across Illinois, teachers and students are returning to the classroom, some for the first time since March of last year. This spring, the Illinois State Board of Education passed a resolution requiring all students, or I should say all schools, to resume in-person instruction this year with limited exceptions. And after weeks of back-and-forth protests over whether students should be wearing masks, Governor J.B. Pritzker settled the question, requiring masks for all students and teachers K-12 in schools both public and private. At least one private school in Illinois found out the penalty for noncompliance is losing state certification. We were planning to talk about this with Dr. Carmen Ayala, State Superintendent of Education, but at the last minute, her communications team said she could no longer make it today, so instead we are joined by Jeff Aronowski. He's Director of Safe and Healthy Climate at the Illinois State Board of Education. Jeff, thank you for stepping in. Welcome to the 21st.
Oh, good morning. Great to be with you today.
Listeners, our phone lines are open at 800-222-9455. We want to invite your questions for one of Illinois' top education administrators. The number to call again, 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. You can also tweet us at 21st Show. That's at 21st Show. So, Jeff, I want to begin with this issue of the mask mandates for all K-12 schools in Illinois. There has been support for it. There's been opposition. Can you talk about the decision process that took place with regards to this order?
Certainly, based on the science, we know that masking is a simple, effective tool to interrupt the spread of the virus, both in schools and in communities. And knowing that we have so many students, staff members, community members, and visitors to schools on a daily basis, following the science, led public health experts to go one step beyond CDC recommendations recommending a mask, but to requiring a mask in all P12 public schools and non-public schools in Illinois.
So I was happened to be in the Chicago suburbs, and I think I saw a yard sign that was had a little too much text for me to read as I was driving by. But basically, it was, this is not the government's decision. This is not the should not be the school district's or the state board's decision. This should be a decision for parent and child. What do you say to people who are expressing that viewpoint about the decision whether or not to wear a mask in schools?
Yeah, decisions or indecisions in the face of a pandemic affect other people, affect other students, other community members, other staff members. And so the decision to require masking based on guidance and expertise from the Department of Public Health is based on what's best for the entire state and for all communities and every single student.
And I mean, so what happens if individual students decide, you know, parents and students decide not to comply? Will they be prevented from attending school, the normal school disciplinary process? Can you speak to that?
Yeah, well, schools have traditionally had their own processes and procedures and policies with respect to noncompliance with any number of issues within a school environment. So we would anticipate that this would fall into the same policy and procedures from school to school district.
And then what about at a school level? I mentioned there was, I think it was called the Timothy Christian School in the Chicago suburbs last week had sort of announced that it wouldn't be complying. The state sort of revoked its certification. Correct me if I'm wrong on any of the details here. And then the school quickly wrote back to the state, or their attorney did, to say, no, we intend to comply with the state's orders. Are there other schools in this position? Can you talk about what happened there?
Yeah, specifically for Timothy Christian Schools, they were non-recognized. And within, I think, 48 hours, we had confirmed their intent to comply and reinstated their non-public school recognition. We do have one or more other non-public schools that were non-recognized over the past couple of days as
and
well.
Just to be clear, when you say non-recognized, that's a verb. They had recognition and then they were sort of de-recognized, or as you say, non-recognized.
That is correct, sir. Okay. So they held non-public school recognition through the Illinois State Board of Education, ended up losing that recognition because of the masking issue. We've also had a number of public schools that have, we verified non-compliance with the masking mandate as well. That's a separate process that public schools go through for compliance. And those schools thus far have been placed on probation. So those schools have not lost their recognition yet, but they are on probation and further steps are warranted for us to work with each of those districts to ensure that they get to where they need to be.
What is the consequence of being either on probation or in non-recognized status?
Sure. For a public school district, on probation in this instance means there are one or more deficiencies that will affect the health or safety of students and staff. Once a school district is placed on probation, a meeting will be held by representatives from the State Board of Education with the school district. Within 60 days after that meeting, the school district will need to have submitted to the state superintendent a corrective action plan on how they're going to remediate those deficiencies. If a plan is not approvable or submitted within those 60 days, the district could be put on non-recognition, which would be a complete loss of state funding, as well as ineligibility for student athletes to participate in IHSA or IESA athletic competitions.
So students wouldn't be able to participate in sports, jeopardizing state funding. I also understand, at least with a private school, if you graduate or are graduated from a non-recognized school, that the degree doesn't really carry weight. Is that right?
Well, that would depend on the employer or the college or university reviewing transcripts. But what we can say anecdotally are that, you know, without recognition, a student may have to perform a more rigorous battery of placement exams to find out exactly where they're going to be within that college or university. And it would be up to the employer to determine, you know, what weight they want to give to that diploma.
Okay. Let me take a moment to remind listeners, if you're just tuning in, this is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking with Jeff Aronowski, who's Director of Safe and Healthy Climate at the Illinois State Board of Education. Our lines are open at 800-222-9455. If you have any questions, 800-222-9455. And I mentioned a few moments ago that the state board passed a resolution this spring mandating the return of in-person learning at all schools in Illinois with limited exceptions. Can you talk about what are some of those exceptions?
Certainly. Students who are not vaccinated and are in quarantine because of being a close contact to a confirmed COVID-19 case are required to be provided remote learning by the school district. There are also some provisions for remote instruction that existed in statute prior to the pandemic, and school districts and families can come together and mutually agree to those remote learning opportunities on a voluntary basis.
Can you talk, I wonder if we can talk about the vaccines now, and not just the COVID-19 vaccine, but vaccines in general, right? The Department of Public Health and the State Board still require proof of immunization for other diseases. I happen to have my own child's State of Illinois Certificate of Child Health Examination, and I'm just can run down the list here: DTP, Tdap, polio, Haemophilus influenza type B, pneumococcal conjugate, hepatitis B, MMR, varicella, chickenpox, meningococcal conjugate. Can you talk about, obviously the COVID vaccines are not yet approved for those under age 12, but I'm wondering if you can just talk in a general way about vaccine requirements in school. Why have they been necessary for other disease? What's the backstory there?
Oh, absolutely. And over time, we learn more about infectious diseases reaching back a half a century or even more. And so what you'll see over time are additional vaccines that are being required through the Department of Public Health for student attendance in learning, in on-site learning for student attendance, because of what we've learned about how we can stop these communicable diseases at the source in between students, and quite frankly, for staff members as well. So you will see an increase over time. That's based on the science. It's based on what we're learning about these infectious diseases and how students can act as vectors for those diseases.
Can you talk about where is the state of Illinois now on, you know, presuming that a vaccine is eventually approved for children under 12, do you anticipate a COVID vaccine requirement in Illinois schools down the road?
Yeah, we don't know at this point. You know, currently it's a strong recommendation. If I can just take this opportunity to really plead with listeners and talk with listeners about the importance of vaccinations for those individuals that are medically eligible to have the vaccine, that are of age. It is the single most important thing we can do, not just for ourselves, for our families and our communities, to stop this. In terms of what that may look like from a required, you know, from a required perspective in the future, we don't know. But as with everything else right now, we will be consulting with public health experts who will be able to give us the appropriate guidance at the appropriate time.
So I want to take a moment. We got, again, listeners, you can join our conversation at 800-222-9455. We also got a tweet from listener Kimberly, who says, I have a 9-year-old son, not immunization eligible, whose father is an organ transplant recipient, and there is no option for remote learning for him. The ISBE policies are irresponsible and failing vulnerable people. I wonder, how do you respond to her concerns about, she said she has an organ transplant recipient in the household, the son is not yet vaccine eligible, and no remote learning option for him.
Sure. That is where masking, not just for the individual, but for the community within the school, becomes even more important. As I mentioned before, we're not just taking care of ourselves, we're taking care of our school communities. And again, masking works, and it works even better when everyone is masked together.
Can you talk about last year, many schools in Illinois were hybrid, not in person, in full at least. Can you talk about learning loss? How much was learning affected last year, and how, you know, how did that factor into the board's decision to sort of resume that in-person learning this year?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's not just, and I don't have anything quantifiable to talk about in terms of learning loss, but you're absolutely right. You know, academics, we saw an increase in childhood obesity, mental health and trauma of our young children, indeed of our faculty and our teachers, was a major concern as well. Being removed from that learning environment for such a prolonged period of time, not just put individual students behind academically, but also socially and in their community as well. And so when we think about learning loss or think about impacts of remote learning during the pandemic, we have to think about it more holistically. Academics certainly is at the center of that, but everything that went with it in terms of students feeling safe, feeling like they have a trusted adult they can go to, feeling you know, that their mental health has been taken care of, their social and emotional learning being addressed as well.
And I don't know, I should remind listeners, we're speaking with Jeff Aronofsky, Director of Safe and Healthy Climate at the Illinois State Board of Education. I'm not sure if busing, school buses, falls under your sort of purview on the org chart at the state board, but this is a nationwide problem, and it's also a problem here in Illinois of school bus companies having a hard time finding enough drivers, as is happening in a lot of places in the economy. Does the state have anything to say about this? Does the state have a role potentially for trying to address this issue? I mean, it's, you know, one thing to say you have to be back in school, but if schools are struggling to find enough ways to get kids in the door, you know, through their school buses, that seems like an additional layer of complexity this year.
Well, one thing that could help is there is no longer a capacity limit on school buses as there were last year because of COVID. Masking is required by order of the CDC as well on school buses. And so we're hopeful that that piece will help get more students on buses, on more bus routes as well. Certainly, to your point, it's a longstanding concern, and we understand that here at the State Board of Education that could be exacerbated by the pandemic.
Okay. And then I believe I've seen you quoted in the past on issues of school discipline. I wondered if you can comment. There was a big story a couple of years ago about schools in Illinois placing students in sort of physical restraints or locking students up for punishment for and sometimes infractions just like being disrespectful. Some students as young as 5, many with disabilities, were put in seclusion. I wonder, where is Illinois now on this issue?
The use of prone restraint has been formally banned by the state of Illinois. We also have regulations updated to ensure that things like timeout or physical restraint are done not as disciplinary measures, but only under this narrow view of ensuring the protection of an individual student or students or staff members. So we do have additional regulations going through the process right now. We've done a lot of work to make sure that those are last resort activities, and that not only are we looking at that from a compliance perspective, but also providing enough training and support to school districts, to special education cooperatives, the regional offices of education, to ensure that they're aware of other effective tools that they can use in their toolkit to try to support their students who may have special needs and special requirements for disciplinary measures.
Sure, sure. All right. We are almost out of time. I want to return to the COVID issue for our final question to ask you, last year, schools, a lot of schools were closed. Obviously, all the schools in Illinois were closed back in March of 2020. Is any sort of statewide order like that still in the cards if the disease burden were to increase enough? Or is this something that from here on out, this is going to be a local decision, local individual schools or school districts that maybe are facing outbreaks?
Yeah, just to reemphasize, our emphasis is on safe in-person learning for the time being. However, we all have to be reactive to and adaptive to any course for the pandemic that may cause remote instruction again. And as you know, a lot went into the decision to close schools for a couple of weeks and then also offer remote education as an option this last school year. We will always be deferential to public health and the safety of students and staff, first and foremost.
Jeff Aronowski is Director of Safe and Healthy Climate at the Illinois State Board of Education. Jeff, thank you for joining us today on the 21st.
Great to be with you. Thank you.
Coming up after a short break, farmers have been asked to step up in their communities to talk to people about getting the COVID-19 vaccine. We're going to have that conversation coming up after a short break. You're listening to the 21st. Stay with us.